listen to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Hey, folks. My next guest is an old friend of the program, Steel City Music. Her name is Sarah Jessica Rajitma. You can check her out at Sarah's Hotspot on the web. It's sarahshotspot.com. And she has Linktree and she has everything. Everything's connected with this girl, from Facebook to Instagram to everything else. And I'm kind of lost going through everything. And I'm just like, wow, that looks good. Hey, how did she do that? Hey, Sarah, I haven't talked to you in a while. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You've been doing well, buddy. I'm seeing all of your stuff. I'm kind of like getting to be a little fangirl over here when I'm going through things.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, but you've done a really good job over this year. Before we went into lockdown with COVID, the first time that you and I met up at the radio station, you had the blog up, but you never had time to put enough work into it. But now, since the lockdown, you've found some time to get back into doing interviews with bands and doing some writing, and you've switched to podcasting, and you've also done some spots on CFME, my other favorite radio station. So
yeah.
It was good to see that. You know, I'm glad that you're branching out and chatting with a lot of people. So how do you feel about your adventure so far?
Thank you. Yeah, I think I was trying to use this time for good, as much good as I could,
right?
And really, yeah, take advantage of the free time that I had. You know, of course, at the beginning of COVID, like millions of other people, I was laid off from my day job, and so I was sitting at home with, you know, a lot of time on my hands. And I thought, you know, I want to put in more effort into this blog and really create it into something that I was envisioning, that I just never really had the time to create, because it is, you know, it's a hobby. I don't profit off of it. So it was something that wasn't, it was something that was a hobby and I didn't have a ton of time for before. So now with COVID and now with, you know, a lot of time on my hands, it's just become my main priority. And I think branching out has been a huge thing recently for me.
Right.
I got back on Twitter. Haven't been on there for a bit, but I'm back on Twitter. I created a TikTok, and so I'm creating content on there. Podcasting regularly, new like live stream series, just sort of trying to do everything right now.
Right. When you go through, do you do call outs to, are people tracking you down as far as a music blogger or a writer, or are you going after certain people to interview? Is that how you're approaching this?
Yeah, it's 50-50. Yeah, I get a good amount of messages and emails and requests. So I'd say it's pretty even 50-50, or maybe even like 60-40, as in like 60% people reaching out to me,
right.
Which I always love and I always welcome, and you can always message me on, Instagram, email. Those are mainly the two places where, you know, I'll be easiest to reach through those two platforms. I do often reach out to bands or artists I admire and, you know, ask for an interview. I'd say it's pretty even right now.
Yeah. What's the artists that you admire and bands that are reaching out? I noticed that you've have a nice mixture of some of the interviews that you were doing. I mean, the new single from I was like saying before we did the interview, I really dig the Juliana Jones new single. It's really good. That called Bad
it's
for me.
So good.
I'm so happy for her. You know, man.
Like, I know.
She works so hard.
Oh, she's such a hard worker, and I would know. Yeah, we were roommates.
Yeah, but I mean, just the first time that I met her and some of her music for over the last year and a half, when I'm up at the radio station, I was like, she's really good. I was really hoping that she would be able to, like, in the next little while, put some material together for people to hear. And it was a real solid recording that she did on that. Also, you did some covering off on from that, but you also did a different style of music altogether. With a band called Strawberry Cough,
yes,
which was like a two-piece punk outfit, and I was, and then I clicked over to that, and I was like reading that, listening to that, and I was going, oh man, this is showing some diversity with Sarah, that she's not being pigeonholed into one style.
Yeah, no, I would never want that. You know, my blog is open to any genre of music. I'm, as a listener myself, and a big music nerd myself, I listen to a little bit of everything. And that's what I wanted to reflect on my blog. And I didn't necessarily want it to be a blog about my music taste. Mm-hmm. I want it to be a place to introduce all of my readers to, you know, new local content.
Which is kind of hard, and I guess in the middle of this COVID thing, there's, I mean, mm-hmm. people are recording and they're kind of holding off on releasing some material because of this pandemic that we've been in mm-hmm. over a year now. So getting enough material to, like just to cover for things going on can be a little bit frustrating, but you've, mm-hmm. You also mentioned that you started doing podcasts, which was something new, for me because, in regards to you, because the last time you and I were chatting, it was just like, you were starting to do the live Instagram interviews, that sort of thing. What made you switch mm-hmm. into getting into podcasting?
I've always been interested in it. I'm a huge podcast listener myself, and I'm a huge fan. So I'd say I listen to like close to like almost a podcast a day. Mm-hmm. Pretty close to that. Yeah, I've always wanted to get into it. I think I was just hesitant.
Right.
In college, I had created, you know, like a few. I went to Mohawk College for journalism. So in my program there, we were taught to edit with audio software, and we created a few sort of, you know, random like a school assignment podcasts. You know, nothing too eloquent or focused, but you practice nonetheless. And then when COVID hit, I was like, well, podcasting is always something I've wanted to get into.
Right.
So I figured, you know, why not just like buy a mic and just try it out?
What kind of mic did you buy? Did you buy one of them new like Yeti mics, those for USB? I'm using that as an example.
I did. Yeah. I bought a Blue Yeti.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I love it, honestly.
So it was like easy for you to like figure out and like install it, that sort of thing?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
It was easy for you to like use, like to install, like you weren't intimidated by it?
No, I was intimidated. I think we had used mics before. Again, I was, you know, in college, I was taught to use different pieces of audio equipment.
Right.
And I think I'd used an older Blue Yeti, but a Yeti nonetheless.
Oh, okay.
And so I was sort of familiar with that sort of style anyways. And so, yeah, buying this Yeti, no, it's a pretty simple piece of equipment. So,
well,
yeah, it wasn't difficult at all.
Now that you're doing the podcasting, though, I mean, to be honest, we put a call out at the Hawk for people to submit shows, that sort of thing, because there's airtime. None of us are in the studios. We're all doing pre-recorded shows.
Right.
So, you know, that could be just yet another thing for you to add to, you know, your website that you're also doing a radio show as well.
Very true. That is something I definitely would want to look into.
It's not like I'm twisting your arm or anything, but I mean,
yeah.
It's,
I know. Yeah.
You could probably do do an hour long show or something, that sort of thing, because I think it would be a nice, I do a 7-hour mm-hmm. show, but I'm a radio nerd, right? So,
totally.
Doing this pre-recorded show, it's basically what I wanted on my website. I put on the air at the radio station, like vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's not that you and I are doing anything that's different from one another. You're covering different styles of artists, and you know, maybe you can do an hour long show or 2 hours. I think you should give it a shot personally, because I think it would add something to you.
Yeah.
You
Very
know?
True. No, that's a fantastic idea. Thank you for mentioning that, because I will look into that.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah.
At the end of the you can find all the information on the Hawk's website. It's Maria Cassidy. She's our station manager. So just drop her a line.
Beautiful.
And just say, hey, I was talking to Gunnar, and he suggested that I should try a radio show, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm a former Mohawk journalist, and here's my blog and my website. You know, why not, man? Add your voice.
Yeah, why not? I will do that.
Hey, it's Gunnar. You're listening to Steel City Music. My special guest right now is Sarah Rajitma. She has a plethora of outlets here. Sarah's Hotspot. It's her website. She's a podcaster. She's a writer of Hamilton music, that sort of thing. She's covering off on a lot of things around Hamilton that interests her in regards to music and culture. Now, do you have a paid writing gig right now?
I don't have a paid writing gig, no. So I do, I write for a couple of publications here
okay.
and there. So I do some writing for Exclaim, which depending on the article is like paid or not paid. They have, you know, there's different rules for every publication.
Right.
But I do some writing for Exclaim, and then I also do some writing for Side Door, which is a Toronto music magazine.
That's, when did you start doing that?
I started writing for Side Door just about a month ago, I'd say. That was pretty recent, yeah. But I've done like 4 articles now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With everything that you're doing with your website and social media and linking in, what are you finding that is the best that people are what's the best platform, the best results that you're getting in regards to the work that you're doing?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think Instagram. I think Instagram will always be number one.
That's where you're seeing the most feedback.
Yeah, that's where I started, and that's... Yeah, I think that that's the strongest for just what I create myself.
Right.
I think TikTok is booming right now, and I'm trying to create some content on TikTok. In regards to like journalism and like local music journalism, I don't think that's going to translate very well onto TikTok. But it's another platform to put, you know, little videos up to kind of, you know, garner a bit of an audience, garner some traction. But I don't think it's exactly the right kind of platform. So I think Instagram, and then I guess like Facebook has been okay. Facebook has been decent.
For you, yeah.
Definitely Instagram.
It's a conversation that's an ongoing one with some people that when they ask me, they go, what's the best way to get my message out with my music, that sort of thing. And I'm like, it always really depends on the market, the age group, that sort of thing. I tell, you know, I go try all of them, but, you know, I mean, Facebook is so massive that you can pay for a sponsored ad and it'll get to certain people. But others I talk to is exactly what you said in regards to Instagram. It's like, this is the thing, and you can go live and you can do an interview and you can have a chat and people can join in. I mean, you can do the same thing with Facebook, but... For Instagram, it seems to be a very much younger demographic.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, and with TikTok, TikTok to me, every time I go on it and I check something out, I get lost in puppy videos.
God, it's so easy to get lost on. That thing just sucks up hours of time.
It's such a time suck. I'm like, I can't do this. I got other things to do with, and all of a sudden it's just like, happy, happy dog. I'm a happy, happy, happy dog. I'm like, I'm done. That's it. Like, here we go.
I know. That's why it took me so long to actually create an account, because I didn't want to stare at a screen for more hours than I already am.
You already are. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, well, what do you got coming up? In the next features, next articles, that sort of stuff that we can talk about, like plug.
Yeah, so I'm the next article that's coming up. It's going to be posted within the next like 2 or 3 days or so.
Uh-huh.
It's an interview with Checkerboard Floors, and they're a local band. They're sort of like a, you know, alternative rock.
Mm-hmm.
And
Derek Polanco.
I'm working. Yes.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's his father. Mm-hmm. I worked with his father for years at the old radio station, Les Polanco.
Look at that.
That's his son. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. They just released some new music, and I was like, oh, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
That's what I'm writing about.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool beans.
Yeah.
Once again, how does everyone get a hold of you, Sarah?
Well, if anyone has any questions, concerns, anything you'd like to speak to me, definitely hit me up at my email. So that's sarahjessicarinjima@gmail.com. Or you can message me on Instagram, which is sarahtotspot. Or, you know, go visit my Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever suits your fancy.
See, this is what I was talking about. You got so much stuff on the go there. It takes a lot of time to check all of that. Hey, man.
Oh, I know, right?
Thanks a lot for having the chat.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And please consider doing a radio show.
I will definitely consider that. Thank you for plugging that.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, that's the end of the interview.
Never
saw you before. And you were there. I didn't want to cause a scene. But then you got in my dreams. I wondered what it could mean. That point on, it was just a matter of time. Here we are, to now our lives are entwined. If only you could see just what it could be. Could we talk for a little longer while? Could I wake up just to see you smile at my door? And as the years go by, we'll watch the rivers run dry. We'll carry on and get by. One from two, I saw the look on your face, an image I couldn't trace, but hinted I was disgraced. Was true, that nothing in this world could take away my love for you. If only you could see just what it could be. Could we talk for a little longer while? Could I wake up just to see you smile at my door? Just a matter of time. Here we are, to now our lives are entwined. If only you could see just what it could be. Could we talk for a little longer while? Could I wake up just to see you smile at my door? You won't regret it.
checkerboard floors right there. Couldn't ask for more. Hey, it's Gunner. It's Steel City Music here on The Hawk every Friday from 12 p.m. till 7 p.m. And a special shout out to Sarah. Thanks for taking the time to do that little pre-recorded interview that we did. Like everything else is pre-recorded right now. I feel pre-recorded. I think maybe I might pre-record my life so I don't have to live it live all the time. Oh my God, what a long week. It was my birthday on Monday, and it happened to be one of the worst birthdays ever. God. But I know it's going to get better. So it'll all get better. It always does. The next couple things we're going to do in this hour of Steel City Music, we will spin some Matthew Sweet, that sort of thing. But also, just to let you know, I've been taking like some interviews, and you'll hear this throughout the show, of different artists and putting some music together. I kind of fell down the well of music interviews, and I've been enjoying listening to them and nostalgic interviews, that sort of stuff. So I'm kind of a geek that way, and I don't know. It just kind of makes me reminisce and think about stuff. So, and I'll probably talk about this again later on in the cast. So we're going to hear some Matthew Sweet on the way, and but first we're going to do an interview from 1996 I found from the Posies. Very cool band. They wear their lyrics on their sleeve, man. Like very heavy pop-centric with some Alex Chilton. It's to me, it's got a lot of teenage angst in some of their lyrics. So I've always been a big fan. So you're going to hear the Posies, Please Return It, Dream All Day, and Flavor of the Month. We'll spin that. And we will also start it off with this interview with Ken Stringfellow and J.R. from the Posies.
Okay.
All right. Are we all set, Alan?
Ready?
I think so.
Okay. Hi, this is Dawn Eden for Video Wave, and I am in the tour bus with John Auer and Ken Stringfellow of the Posies. Thank you. As they prepare to play Tramps as part of their tour for their third album on DGC, Amazing Disgrace.
My God, do you do auctions by any chance? Great.
How much am I bid for the original copy on Car Records of I Am the Cosmos? I've got a copy of that, yeah, if any of you guys want one.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow, I need a better copy. Mine's kind of beat up.
Yeah.
I was promised one by a journalist like years ago, but...
Those journalists.
Kind of flaky sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They never come through. So you guys must be kind of relieved now that you have a third album that you don't have to quite so constantly put up with comparisons to the Hollies and the Beatles because you're better known for your own sound.
Yes. And reading through the press packet that you so lovingly provided from our first album, definitely... Beatles and Hollies comparisons abound, and it's probably true. I'm sure we were a lot, you know, we just hadn't, you know, it takes a while to find your voice as any kind of artist. I'm speaking metaphorically when I use the word voice. And, you know, we're still kind of, in a way, it's always like we're starting out, you know, we're not that old or anything, so... Mm-hmm. We're just figuring some stuff out, man.
By the way, when they say they're not that old, I think they mean that they're both younger than me, and they're trying to rub it in. I was born September 3rd, 1968, guys.
Oh, I was born and just a couple months later. I was born October 30th, 68.
So you're younger.
And I'm younger than both. I'm 9/29/69.
Too bad. Well, at least we were born in the year of I Am Curious Yellow. I think that's very important.
I always think of
James Colbert
being born in the Great Blood of the White album. Kind of, that's kind of where I left off.
James Coburn in I Am Curious Yellow?
Wasn't he in the movie version of that? I swear to God.
In the movie version of I Am Curious Yellow. I have the book.
I thought he was in the movie.
I thought the movie was like a Dutch, like...
Swedish.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking, was he the revolutionary college student who did that woman up the butt? I mean, yeah. It's like, that's basically what the movie is.
No, that's Last Tango in Paris. That's like the butter scene, right?
That's Marlon Brando, right?
Yes. And I apologize for already following, you know, to the lowest common denominator. Please blame it on really bad heartburn, which I've had for weeks, which the Posies are so nice, they're doing absolutely nothing to aggravate. Thank you.
This will help.
Now John is trying to send me a message which could aggravate my heartburn if I let it.
That's not what I mean.
I know.
So cruel.
I know.
You're nice, Don.
Really?
This is like totally going to be on cable access.
Oh, public access.
We have a cable access feel already happening here. This is definitely a cable, like local access lighting rig with this kind of sitting around. Like, this is a total, this is a prop collection here. Go ahead, show it. Turn the camera. This is the prop collection here.
Totally the mystic bottle, the white jelly beans, or are they soybeans?
To make it look like the inside of a tour bus.
See, we do like the monkeys, too. It's a tribute to my
connection. Boy, all his liquid paper money isn't going to help him now.
Are you guys familiar with us?
You heard about that?
No, what?
What?
Are we familiar with what?
Oh, wait, you're talking about something more interesting. Tell us what.
Oh, well, I heard that Michael Nesmith is in hiding now, and that his Pacific Arts company is, like, folded because he's being sued by PBS and, like, everybody else.
Oh, wow.
He made all these really bad business deals. He tried to... He supposedly had some sort of agreement to show the Ken Burns baseball documentary. No, I mean, not to show it, to release it on video with his Pacific Arts company.
Uh-huh.
And then PBS somehow didn't come through with the tape. He went ahead and released it anyway. And then he formed some other company thinking that PBS wouldn't find him, and they did.
Wow.
So that's why he's not touring with the other monkeys.
No, this is Michael Nesmith. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Michael Nesmith.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
So what I want to know if you guys are familiar with the legend of Star Rock. You guys ever, speaking of cable access.
Oh, yep. Star Rock.
We're all part of the original scene.
This is really weird because I was at Coney Island High last night and there was a videotape of Star Rock playing.
Whoa! Yeah.
Was that a Seattle public access show?
No, it's from L.A.
It's from L.A., but it's just crazy. It's like,
we are all part of the original scene. It's like, how can you explain Star Rock? It's kind of like... As if, I don't know, Cher meets Monster Magnet, kind of.
A little bit.
Visually.
It's like if the Eurythmics worship Satan.
So it's very 80s, I take it.
It's everything.
70s people being 80s, but not having heard of much past the 60s.
So how did you guys manage to get on this LA shows when you were touring?
Say what?
Oh, we were never on Star Rock.
Oh, I see.
I'd like to put that to rest now. There's been a lot of talk over the years as to how the Posies have helped with... develop Star Rock into more of a mass appeal kind of product, but we're working with Carolco and Qualcomm some kind of new format, because there's no format that's good enough for Star Rock. We're working with a kind of a cubicle memory chip bubble that's going to be out.
Oh, I need to brush up on my Philip K. Dick. This is all too much.
I need to brush up on my... Yeah.
Now you've completely caused me to forget the name of the video that I'm supposed to be introducing now.
Oh, this is all an introduction to a video?
And then afterwards we come back and talk more as though we've seen the video, even though we actually haven't.
But I've probably seen
it. So it's
are we going to do
Dream All Day?
Dream All Day.
Or Definite Door. Which one is it going to be? You don't know. You don't know what video you're going to show, and it's going to come on, and we're going to cut away, and you're never going to tell us what video it is.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we can't find it, we'll just use the Young Fresh Fellows picture book, okay?
Yes.
That's a great one.
Hallelujah.
About to see a Posies video in 3D.
My God, the memories, they come back instantly.
Don Eden, back with you on Video Wave with John Auer, Ken Stringfellow. One is purple, one is pink.
And my contacts are fine. It's okay.
And I'm glad someone's are.
There's some killer public access in Seattle, too. Mm-hmm. Isn't there a thing called Hot Tub TV?
Wait a second, what about... The Cobain Mystery... Who killed Kurt Cobain?
Is this a show?
Oh, yeah. There's a total lunatic Eric Foray lookalike who you won't know, who's totally unraveling the mystery.
Have you heard of a guy named Nardwar, the human serviette? I've never seen him.
Heard of him. It's amazing. There's a legendary Mickey Dolenz interview.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Great.
Doot, doot, loot, doot. Doot, doot, loot, doot.
What did...
Doot, doot. Oh, we know Nardwar.
What did he ask you when he talked to you? He must have interviewed you guys.
So, the Posies. Now, are you... You maybe perhaps think you maybe sound like the Smithereens, perhaps? Do you, but are you familiar with Nero and the Romans. Legendary 60s videotape.
Oh my god, it's uncanny.
Doot, 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 doot.
You're almost as annoying, which is the most amazing.
Exactly. I saw him... I've seen him get kicked out of Lollapalooza. I've seen him torture Sonic Youth.
I heard about that.
No, they just broke a record over his head or something like that. I've seen him ask Bob Denver, like, extremely penetrating questions. Like, so, would you like to be Bob or Little Buddy? How should I address you? This is definitely over 3 minutes, by the way. If we were a Motown single, we'd be doing the big fade right now.
What about him going up to Mikhail Gorbachev at a black tie event and saying to him in Russian, "Keep on rocking
in the free world." Oh, and getting healed by Ernest Angley? That's another good one.
second be surprised like a letter. I just send it, please return it, just forget it. When we live the life we live, it's never us completely, not completely. Like a movie, like a style, please return it, please return it. Like a favor, like a glance, please return it, please return it.
What a great track that is. The Posies right there. Gunner here, Steel City Music. Please return it from the Posies. Our next artist that's going to close out this hour is Matthew Sweet. And I've always been a big fan of Matthew Sweet. I've been catching some of his stuff, doing live stuff on Facebook, performing because he can't tour. And that's how he makes his cashola, much like the rest of everyone right now in regards to music. So he's doing the live stream, that sort of stuff, and he has like a PayPal set up. So go to Matthew Sweet's Facebook page. All the information's there. Click on it if you want to make a donation for him playing, that sort of stuff. That's super cool. I think that's awesome that he's it's unfortunate that he has to do that, but I'm glad that he is doing it at the same time. So there you go. So I found this interview from like 1989, and he just looked like such a kid in all of this. And it's like this really rare interview out of Cleveland. And I just got such a kick out of watching. I was like, oh man, you know, I gotta share this with everyone. So what we'll end up doing, you will hear tracks. Girlfriend, of course, which is really super big mainstream hit for him. I've Been Waiting. And also Sick of Myself, okay? So all that fun stuff here on Steel City Music. Check it out.
Matthew Sweet is here in Cleveland on tour promoting this album, Earth, an A&M release. Matthew's behind the album. There he is. And you've got three recordings out now, and an EP, and the two LPs.
Right.
But you've worked with like 8 or more producers.
Yeah, well, those were mostly on the Columbia album. At the time I made that, it was really kind of an in vogue thing for producers to agree to do a couple of tracks with an artist instead of a whole album. So we found that it was easier to find people we liked who had a little bit of time and wanted to do a couple of things than to find someone who had the time to do a whole album. So it just sort of snowballed. I did one track over in England with a guy named Alan Tarney, and he wanted to record it like that next week, but just had time for one track. So we did that, and then it was like, well, I guess we'll go ahead and do it. But it's been a great thing for me working with so many producers, because I think it helped me to really quickly gain a lot of insight and experience in the studio that would have taken me many albums to learn had I done it, you know, the conventional way. So,
and of course now you're involved in the production yourself.
Yeah, and I even kind of was then. Usually working with a producer, it's funny that producers get a lot of, I don't know, I guess some producers are really dominant and they really control the way an artist works. It's never really been that way with me. We'll usually get into the studio and we look at each other and like neither of us knows what to do. And unless a producer is also a musician, it really rests on the artist to be in control of things musically. So I think in a lot of situations where there's a producer credited, the artist is actually probably as much of a producer as the producer himself is.
No, you're not what you'd say a craftsman when you're writing a song, and it more or less just comes to you, it flows out.
Yeah, it tends to be just kind of a little burst of this music thing that kind of pops up in my head. And although I get pegged, I think, a lot as a kind of a pop craftsman, I put together songs that are really seamless. I don't really do it in that way. I think a lot of people that are classified as that do actually sit down and think, okay, here's a great chorus and a great verse, and they hook them together in a perfect way. And I try not to do that. I think that makes things really sterile and makes for records that, and songs that sound a lot like a song you've heard before or whatever, or very formulaic. And so I try to just like get a burst of energy and like then kind of weld it into a shape. You know?
So does it come easy for you, or are you thinking, well, now I'm going to sit down and write a song and it comes out, or is it more you're driving in the car and you're
It's more like I'm driving in the car, yeah, and I'm searching for a pencil. It'll tend to, a lot of times, happen in my head first, a lot of times in the shower, actually. I will usually just kind of be in a mood to write. I don't usually need to set aside time to write. I probably will have to do that more now that I've become really busy doing the touring and all that. It used to be I was home a lot, and so I'd just kind of get out of bed and, you know, have this idea and wander in and record it. But it's kind of like an urge I get. Like, I just kind of get in the right frame, and I know it's going to happen.
Your first band experiences came when punk rock exploded. And, you know, a lot of punk rock made a lot of people who had no musical experience at all go out and buy a guitar and go in a band.
Right.
And, you know, they can't play. But you've survived that by mastering quite a few instruments.
Yeah, well, I actually, it wasn't really that way with me. I didn't kind of join the punk revolution by, you know, anybody can play a guitar. I was a bass player before that. And, you know, I learned to play bass off of, like, Yes records and all these, like, progressive things, Electric Light Orchestra and stuff. I would learn the bass lines off all these really technical things. And then that revolution happened. And what it really did for me was help me find a spirit that brought me enjoyment through music that wasn't based upon like technical playing and all that, and gave me the urge to write songs and play more instruments myself so that I could flesh out that vision of, you know, the songs I was writing. So I think that it was mostly for me an energy thing when that happened. It was like, wow, I can play one note through most of the song and it's 100 times more exciting than that Stanley Clarke lick that took me 10 hours to learn.
We have the video to Vertigo, and we're going to be seeing it
now.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about that, the song or the video?
Okay, well, Vertigo is a song about sort of fear of closeness and relationships, of taking risks, you know. And the video was really a lot of fun to make. A real guitar legend, this guy Robert Quine, is in it. I actually got him in my video. When I was a teenager, I was during this punk revolution, I was listening a lot to this guy Richard Hell, who Bob Quine played with. I never dreamed that I'd have him play with me. But since then, he worked on this record, so that was a triumph to have him in my video, because I know he's never been on MTV or whatever before. And so that was fun. There's all sorts of kind of wild things going on in the video. There's all this shaving stuff that's kind of for tension with this razor blade and the jugular vein. I love that part. But it was a lot of fun to make, actually, a good experience.
Great. Well, let's take a look at it right now. All right. Matthew Sweet, new album, Earth. Here's the video, Vertigo.
Alright, well, back to the almost eternal Iggy Pop discography. Your first solo album was 77's The Idiot. And how big a part did David Bowie play in your emergence as a solo artist?
Well, I mean, put it this way, before I made that record, I was a street person in L.A., basically, and I'd been kind of stymied by the entire music business and a really disastrous manager in general, and drug problems and drinking and general carousing, you know. So at the time, I could have put together kind of just a stock rock band, something glam, something tasteless, but I didn't want to do that, and it was really timely that he suggested basically two things: getting out of LA, which is great, and and making an album together, which was a good idea, because I think had he not come along with that proposal, I probably wouldn't be talking to you. No.
Really?
I'd be playing somewhere, probably in 42nd Street or something, you know, something like that. So it was a good stroke, you know.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
'cause you need to get back in the arms of a good friend. And I need to get back in the arms of a girlfriend. I didn't know. You need to get back in the arms of a good friend. Oh, 'cause honey, believe me, she'd love to call you my girlfriend. You need to get back in the arms of a good friend. Oh, 'cause honey, believe me, I'd love to call you my girlfriend. Cause you got a good thing going, baby. You only need somebody to love. Well, you got a good thing going. Looking for someone to love, 'cause you need to get back in the arms of a good friend.
You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Steel City Music.